Welcome to Urban Wilderness, the official Turkey Mountain podcast. I'm Tip Crowley, and on this episode, we're taking a trip through time using trees. Well, sort of. Today we're talking dendrochronology, so stay tuned to Urban Wilderness.
Support for this podcast comes from Fleet Feet Tulsa Broken Arrow, hosting a variety of races annually, including 5Ks, half and full marathons, and trail races. For more information or to register, visit fleetfeettulsa.com/races. From Switchback Training Systems, a one-stop solution for multi-sport and cycling athletes, offering personalized coaching from certified instructors and mountain bike and multi-sport skills clinics in Tulsa and Claremore. More information at switchbackmtb.org. And from Team My Side Fitness, a partner of RSU Radio, promoting a healthy community with support from Bicycles of Tulsa, Sando's Modern Deli, The Local Bison, and Atomic Foods. More information at WTFistmf.com.
In a moment, we'll join Ryan Howell out at Turkey Mountain. But first, let's get a little background. What we're talking about today is a scientific study called dendrochronology. What is dendrochronology? We asked Roger State University biology student and RSU Radio music director DJ Sam to explain.
Dendrochronology is the study of tree rings in relation to time. This can be used to determine the age of a tree, as well as to examine past events, environmental change, and patterns of annual growth. According to the U.S. National Park Service, tree growth is sensitive to fluctuations in atmospheric conditions, such as moisture, temperature, and sunlight. Broad rings reflect a good growing year, while narrow rings may reflect lower moisture, lower temperature, or other environmental stress.
So as you can tell, you're in for a scientific episode. Let's send it out to Ryan Howell on location at Turkey Mountain as he walks through the woods with...
Chad King. I'm an associate professor of biology at the University of Central Oklahoma. We are out here looking to get a picture of how old the trees are out here by looking at their tree rings. That's part of my background is looking at... how old trees are and what factors either impede a tree from growing very fast or growing really fast. You know, being able to decipher kind of the history of what was happening around a tree during its life.
So we're looking at trying to determine the age of this forest. What does that information do for us?
Well, it gives us a perspective of the historical land use. Often what we will see in areas that maybe didn't have very much agricultural practice, a lot of the trees were left in place. And so when we get really old trees at a site, possibly like Turkey Mountain here, we get a picture of what was going on to this forest in the past.
That's interesting because we're working right now to help do a bunch of prescribed burn management out here. And I think that a lot of this data might actually help inform us on like management practices.
Yeah, sure. We're also out here kind of getting a picture of potentially what the historic wildfires were like out here before settlement of this area. And that often can help kind of drive decisions on how areas are managed. If we can understand how frequently fires burned through a site, it kind of gives us some perspective of what the site was used to experiencing over time.
So basically, if we get a good picture of how many times this site burns every 7 to 10 years in the past, that might actually help us determine what our burn schedule should be like as we move forward to help restore the ecology.
Yes, exactly. So we can use those, you know, the average time in between fires, like you were saying, 7 to 10 years, maybe that helps to drive the frequency of prescribed fire that's going to be put out here.
How are we? What are we doing to collect these samples to get this data? Can we describe that process and what that looks like?
Yeah. So right now what we're doing is we're going through and we are what we like to call coring a tree. And what we're doing is taking a little sliver of the tree out, and in that piece of wood are going to be a series of tree rings that we can count, we can measure them, and that helps us actually to figure out how old the trees are here. And then the other component of this is we're taking good old-fashioned chainsaws and specifically looking at the dead trees. I generally don't go around cutting down the living trees because we can core those trees that doesn't kill them. But we can look at the dead wood that is out here, because those might have been dead for a really long time, and they might have a story to tell about the forest before these living trees were even here. So we're kind of working with chainsaws, and we're collecting cores out of trees to look at the rings.
And you've already taken a couple of test samples from cores. What kind of stuff did you see in those?
Yeah, so surprisingly, I was actually really pleased. So we cored a couple of trees back in January, and one of them dates back into about the mid-1800s. It was a pretty large post oak that when I saw it, I thought, gosh, that looks like an old tree. And the other one that we cored was a smaller tree, but that dated to the early 1900s. So I was really excited about this opportunity, given the potential of post oak trees, especially, that could date back pre-1800, still living, still thriving in this forest out here.
Would you expect to see something like that in such an urban setting as the Turkey Mountain Urban Wilderness?
No, this is a really fascinating site. To be honest, I didn't even know this existed. So I live in Edmond, and I didn't even know about it until Brian Yockers had mentioned it to me about coming over here. And as I was walking around, I got a really great sense of some really potentially old trees that still exist in this environment. And so that drew me out here to do this today. We're measuring the diameter of the tree. This tape measure around the tree, it's scaled to actually measure the diameter.
Oh, that's cool.
Of the tree.
It's a tape measure that you can't use on to measure anything linearly, but it'll wrap it around something that measures the diameter. That's really neat.
So 42.8. The reason that we do that is I like to look at the relationship between age and size of trees. And measuring diameter is a pretty standard forestry measurement. It can give us a sense of how much space, we can calculate how much space a tree is taking up in a forest based on its diameter. So we measure that because often people, when they look at a tree and they see a really big tree, they think it's an old tree because it's big, and that's not always the case. That's especially true for post oaks around here. They don't have to be really big to be old. And so that's kind of the first step of this, is to measure the diameter of that tree.
All right, now let's see. Brian is fixing to put a core in here. So let's talk about this process. So he's got a T-shaped, what is it? This is the core.
Yeah, so this board is called an increment borer. It has a hollow shaft that has a bit on it that then has a handle attached to the shaft that he is turning in a circle to screw it into the tree. Since it's hollow in the center, what we're doing is that sliver of wood is being caught up in the hollow part of that tree. And so what he's trying to do is trying to estimate where he thinks the pith or the center of the tree is. And so he's going to, here in a minute when he gets it inside, he's going to take an instrument called the extractor. That's what's going to pull the piece of wood out of the shaft. He's using that to get an estimate about how far inside the tree he is.
So he's trying to get down to the middle, because if you go from the middle to the outside, you get basically the tree rings up there for its life.
Yes, correct.
That was the sound of a tree ring core going into wood.
So now what he's doing is he's inserting the extractor inside of the hollow shaft. By turning it counterclockwise, that breaks the piece of wood off that's inside of the shaft. And now he's pulling out the increment core from inside the tree that's now sitting on the extractor. And so we can get a kind of an early look at the rings that are on the tree. What I will eventually do is I'll take all these back and I will sand them so we get a better idea of the number of rings that are in here, because sometimes the rings can be very narrow. And so by sanding it, we can see individual cells that are inside of the wood and make it easier to count the rings.
So talk to me a little bit about dendrochronology and how that works specifically.
Yeah, sure. So dendrochronology, the science of trees, tree rings, is a process where we are looking at the patterns of growth in multiple trees from a site. So all the trees out here at Turkey Mountain are all kind of responding really similarly to climate. And so if we have a relatively wet year, all the trees, or at least most of the trees out here, are going to put on a much wider ring. If it's a drought and dry, they might put on a much more narrow ring. And so those patterns across individual trees match up. And what that allows us to do is to be a little bit more confident in the actual year that we are assigning to a ring. So we know, for instance, here in Oklahoma, the 1953 tree ring in almost every tree that I've cored across Oklahoma is a very narrow ring. And what happened around the early 50s was a really big drought. And so all the trees responded by not putting on very much wood that year. We call that a marker year. All those trees are going to have that same small 1953 ring, for instance. And so as we're looking at those rings, we can more confidently say, ah, there's the 1953 ring, for instance, because it is so much smaller than 52 and 54 on either side of it. Once we do that, once we can confidently assign calendar years to each of the rings, I like to say the world's my oyster, because you can do just about anything with tree rings. We can look at and get pictures of what the climate was like in an area back in the 1800s, for instance, based on the patterns of growth in the trees. We can take old buildings that have been built out of wood, and if they have the rings, enough rings in the wood, we often can get a picture of, you know, maybe when that building was built. So there's so many different things, and it's expanding more as technology has gotten better, being able to draw information out of the trees, which helps us understand kind of what was going around those trees during its life, but also gives us a picture of potentially what might happen in the future as well.
So you can, for instance, build a climate history, not just for Oklahoma, but I mean very specifically just Turkey Mountain. Like you could tell wet years from dry years and how that impacts our forest today.
Yes, exactly. So when I go back and I look at these tree rings, you know, most of these are going to go back to at least the early 1900s. We'll get a picture. I mean, the Dust Bowl drought shows up, even in trees that are going to be around here. So we get a picture not only of this kind of regional scale climate, but we also can get a picture of site-specific, like Turkey Mountain-specific climate that could go back into the 1800s. So part of what I'm doing is, as we're walking around out here at Turkey Mountain, I'm kind of looking for characteristics of potentially old trees, external characteristics, so things that the tree might be demonstrating that might give me a sense that this tree might be 150 to 200-year-old tree. So this one that we walked up to is leaning, and when we look at the bark on the outside of the tree, I like to say that it has what's called thinning bark. So the bark thickness of this post oak is much less than some of the younger ones. So they start to lose a lot of the bark off the outside of the tree. They don't replace it at the same rate as they're losing it. And so over time, the bark becomes thinner on the tree. As I look up into the crown of the tree, I see it looks like the top of the tree broke out at some point during its life. And what remains are just one or two really large diameter stems way up in the canopy of the tree. As trees get older, they don't grow as fast. And so replacing the limbs that have broken out of that tree doesn't happen. And so they rely on just a couple of really large stems and the leaves that would come out of those limbs up there. Has several old broken branches out of the tree, a very small crown in the tree. And so when the tree's not capturing very much light because it doesn't have very many leaves, it can't make as much wood. And therefore what we see is tree rings that often are very narrow, but a tree like this can do that for 150 years. So we're gonna core this tree, and hopefully this might be one of the older ones that we find out here.
First, we're going to knock it to make sure it's not hollow, right?
Yeah.
Because we don't want to hit a hollow tree.
So when we're coring, we can get our increment borer stuck inside the tree in a hollow pocket. And so often what we'll do is we'll come up and knock on the side of the tree. If we hear an echo coming from the inside of the tree, it's likely hollow in there, and so we tend to avoid coring those types of trees. But this one sounds pretty solid. So I imagine we'll get a nice solid core out of this tree.
Dendrochronology is so cool, and I'm hoping you're still with us to geek out about these, because it's been a couple of weeks now, and Chad has actually had an opportunity to process all of his data, and he just sent me, hot off the presses, I have it right here in front of me, dates from a number of the samples. Drum roll, please. Okay, so one of the oldest trees that Chad found dated and was born in the year 1802. That's 219 years old. A number of the trees, he took about 30 samples, and a number of those trees were all born in the age range from 1802 to about 1858. So we have several trees out at Turkey Mountain that are well over 200 years old. In later conversations, Chad actually thought that and felt that those dates from 1802 and 1804 should be dated a little further back, because the tree was sampled at a height of about a meter up, and he feels that, like, at a meter up, it takes a few years for a tree to even get to the height of a meter. So those trees were actually probably born in the late 1700s, so like 1799, 1798, that kind of thing. So very cool stuff. He also did note that some of the tree rings had fire scar information from fires that occurred at Turkey Mountain in the year 1835, and then again in the year 1841. So hopefully some more samples will provide more data about that, but we know we had a couple of major fires in those years, even though they're not documented in any, you know, historical way. So here we are providing historical information.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of Urban Wilderness, the official Turkey Mountain podcast. Thanks again to our sponsors, Fleet Feet Tulsa Broken Arrow, Team My Side Fitness, and Switchback Training Systems for making this possible. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast for more information about hiking, biking, and history at Tulsa's urban wilderness, Turkey Mountain. We'll talk soon, and until then, go get lost at Turkey Mountain.